Hare Krishna, everyone. So we'll just review what we discussed in the last session. We'll just briefly review. So we did verses 36 to 46. So some important points. We need not go verse by verse. There's so many verses. Something which we remember, something which you thought about in the week. Yeah, you were telling.
Two incidents where all the five rasas of with Krishna are simultaneously exhibited. The five rasas being, you know, friend, being a parent, being a lover, and
neutral and servant.
So all five rasas, one is during the, when he was lifting the blood and giri, and once when he was just battling the wrestlers, Kolaya Pit.
Chanura and Mushti. Mm. Okay, that's very good. Any other things you remember?
We talked about 15 verses.
Krishna is the goal.
Vedanta, the main aim of Vedanta is to know Krishna. Mm. And the ultimate aim of Veda also is Krishna. Mm. That's what emphasized on verse number 38.
Mm.
You spoke about 15 verses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's the knower, all that is knowable. You are the knower of anything and you are all that knowable. So whatever we are trying to know, actually we are trying to know Krishna indirectly. Yeah. Then Arjuna's mood is completely in awe and reverence. He's giving all kinds of adjectives. You are air, you are supreme controller, you are this, you are great grandfather. Yeah, some more points, Madhuri?
I treated like your friend.
Mm.
Please forgive me if I come.
Mm. Yeah, so Arjuna is feeling regret. So now knowing Krishna's supreme position, he feels like, you know, I treated him like normally. I didn't really give him the respect he deserves. So I might have committed offenses due to that lack of appropriate respect. So some application points we thought about it.
Don't treat senior devotees advantage.
Even though they appear to us, they are so approachable, they may, you know, appear to us as friends, treat us as friends, but we should always regard them, you know, appropriately. That way we can get more advantage. Yeah, recently, like, you know, Radha Krishna Prabhu, we have been having relationship almost now 10 years now, right? So every year there is some change. There is more intimate, more, at least little bit chastisements have reduced. I can see. So somewhat we are getting mature. So like, you know, now this year he treats like really like friends. Like, you know, he says, you know, you sit with me, you talk, and just casual discussions like that. But Vishi, it's very, you know, important for us to always remember this and, you know, understand where is his position and like that, you know. He's being kind.
Basically, the point is to develop a humility in yourself.
Mm. And real humility, actually, you know, not just because, yeah, like for example, when you see already somebody who is very superior, automatically you feel humble. That's false humility, you know. It comes because of their superiority, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really feel less of ourselves, or rather, you know, you see, like if suppose Bill Gates goes or something, automatically you feel, oh, he's great. Then you feel, oh, maybe, you know, I bow down or something. But really, from the heart, you don't feel I am not worthy. Like, you know, the real humility that, you know, I don't deserve anything. This is all mercy. You know, let me accept it as a beggar. Really, do we feel that is real humility that we should cultivate? Otherwise, it's circumstantial humility, or humility comes because of the other person's actually. Okay, some more points?
Everything is Krishna's energy.
Hmm. Are surrendering.
Controlled by Krishna's modes of energy. So, indirectly,
they're also surrendering to Krishna. So, everybody is actually controlled by Krishna. No, some know, some don't know. That's the only thing. Yeah. Wow, everybody remembers all significant points. I'm very pleased. Yeah. Some more?
After seeing you were the form of Krishna, the Arjuna is the afraid that the end, so he is asking Krishna
to show the four-handed form. Yeah. You know, because he's done, he saw whatever he has to see, he saw that all the great grandfather, everybody, he's already died. So now it's enough, you know. And why Arjuna asks him to show the universal form first place?
So that the Maya was to show as an example, if someone in this Kali Yuga, if someone comes and says that I am God,
then he should be ready to show.
Then you can show the
universal form. Yes. So he's setting a criteria for future impostors. Like somebody says, I'm God, they should be able to show the universal form. And they should also give the vision to see the universal form. Yeah.
They can counteract, right? Krishna didn't show to everyone, so you should just become devoted.
No, that's what I told, right? Krishna gave Arjuna the vision to see him.
What I'm saying is, they may say, first become my devotee, follow me sincerely, then I'll show you.
Yeah, Arjuna is a very pure devotee, so you become pure devotee. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, some more points? So, universal form is temporary form, right? It's material, temporary form. And now he's asking him to show the eternal, transcendental, spiritual form of Narayana in Vaikuntha. Right? That's the difference between these two forms. There are so many innumerable Narayanas in different planets. And so he's asking him to show that particular form. This verse 46 says, it's showing that actually the two-armed form of Krishna is original form. Because from which he can show the four-armed form and he can also show the universal form. So he is the original form. So he can show and withdraw also. So that sets the criteria, like, you know, who is original, you know, Krishna or Vishnu. So text number 47 to 55, the end of the chapter, so we'll see how much we can cover and hopefully we can cover. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Prasannena Tavarchunedam Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Tejo Mayam Vishwam Anantamatyam Yanmetvat Anyena Nadrishtapurvam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. So what are some of the points here is, so here Krishna is saying that actually, so there is another concoction. People say that actually universal form is supreme and Krishna is rather 200 form is subordinate to that universal form. So that is ultimate. That's another kind of concoction. But here is establishing that actually by my internal potency I am able to display that universal form. So he is saying, basically he is showing that I am actually 200 form is supreme. By my potency I am able to display this universal form.
But then Mataji, universal form is the interior energy, right?
Yeah, that we understand. Yes.
Then why is saying I'm
based on
my internal?
No, for him there is no difference. Krishna, everything is internal, spiritual, yeah. No one has before. Okay, another point is, no one before you has ever seen this primal form. So we'll understand that. We know that in the sabha, right? When Krishna goes for the peace, this thing, that time he shows one universal form. So you know why Krishna is saying that no one has ever seen. We'll see what Srila Prabhupada says about that. Which is primal form, you know? Primal form. And unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. It's like millions of suns. So we'll read a couple of points from the purport. Arjuna wanted to see.
Universal form, full full of effulgence and confidence.
Good pause. It's a little down. No one had ever seen. No one had seen this universe.
No one had seen this universal form of the Lord before Arjuna. But because of the form was shown to Arjuna, other devotees in the heavenly planets and
another planets.
Another planets in outer space could also see it. They had not seen it before, but because of Arjuna, they were also able to see it.
Yeah, so not only Arjuna, there were some, we discussed some demigods and demons, were also able to see the universal form. Because Krishna was merciful, merciful, and he was loving towards his pure devotee, Arjuna, that others got benefit. So I was thinking practically, like for example, if you are close to some devotees and the devotee have access to serve a pure devotee, they invite somebody home. So they involve you also to help something, you know, cook something like that. So you get the benefit. It's like that. So Arjuna, Krishna is pleased with Arjuna. He wanted to show to Arjuna, but others also got side benefit. You know, like that. So somehow if we can attach ourselves to some devotees, sincere devotees, then we'll get the mercy through them. Okay, two lines down. Someone has commented
that this form was shown to Duryodhana also when Krishna went to Duryodhana to negotiate for peace. Unfortunately, Duryodhana did not accept the peace offer, but at the time Krishna manifested some of his universal forms. But those forms are different from this form, this one shown to Arjuna. It is clearly said that no one has ever seen this form.
Okay, so that form which is shown there, it's a little different. Basically, it's a partial universal form that's shown there. And it's completely different from what is shown to Arjuna here. So that's why no one has ever seen this form. Arjuna and now other people also are seeing because of Arjuna. It's clear, right? Okay, Amit Prabhu?
Where is the earlier previous form?
So when Krishna comes for peace negotiation, Duryodhana Hastinapura, right? He wants to tell, you know, at least give 5 villages.
Yes.
So that time, Duryodhana has so many tricks to somehow, you know. He tries to first, give lot of nice offerings to Krishna to make him pleased. Like, you know, we prepared very nice feast, like lure him with all these things. But Krishna went to Vidura's home and, you know, he didn't even accept dinner in his place. Mm-hmm. So he came to the meeting. And then ultimate weapon Duryodhana thought is he'll use all his soldiers and capture Krishna. That's what he thought. So when he did, Krishna showed his universal form and everybody ran away and then he went away. So that's a partial universal form he showed that time.
So Duryodhana has seen that?
Seen it, but still he felt he's some magic. He's doing some magic, that's what he felt. He didn't believe he's Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Nice.
In Mahabharata, can't you hear in this part only?
Oh, ho, ho.
Krishna came to Hastinapura.
Oh, ho. Oh, very nice. Okay, text number 48. Na veda yajna yanair na danair na cha kriya birna tapo birugrai evam rupa sakya aham nuloke drashtum tvad anyena kuru pravira. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances can I be seen in this form in the material world. So even to see the universal form, so-called material form, we need to be qualified. It's not by studying Vedas, sacrifices, charity, pious activities, severe penances. So even to see the universal form, we need to have bhakti basically. If you see generally, Krishna uses these phrases to say, in order to attain pure devotional service, in order to attain, see Krishna, these are not sufficient. Vedas, all, these things will not make you qualify to see Krishna. So even to see the universal form, these things are not enough, or these things are not sufficient. So then what is required is the bhakti. So we'll read the first paragraph.
The divine vision in this connection should be clearly understood. Who can have divine vision? Divine means godly. Unless one attains the status of divinity as a demigod, he cannot have divine vision. And what is a demigod? It is stated in the Vedic scriptures that those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu are demigods. Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Devaha. those who are atheistic, that is, who do not believe in Vishnu, or who recognize only the impersonal part of Krishna as the Supreme, cannot have the divine region. It is not possible to decry Krishna and at the same time have the divine region. One cannot have the divine region without becoming divine. In other words, those who have divine vision can also see like Arjuna.
Okay, so the point Prabhupada is, the criteria is, one should have a divine vision in order to see the universal form. That means he needs to be like demigodly, or like, you know, he needs to be a bhakta of Lord Vishnu or, you know, Krishna. But he cannot be atheistic, he cannot be mayavadi, he cannot be impersonalist to see Krishna. So in a bhakti, say basically same point. So yeah, so we'll go to the last paragraph. So one can perform all this, like after all this last paragraph, after maybe 10th line, like that. Tapasya, after tapasya word. One can perform all these, can...
Amar Singh Matali.
Huh?
No,
last paragraph, maybe 15th line, from top. Not last, last bit, but one, sorry.
Yeah.
So one can perform all these.
And the voluntary acceptance of the bodily pains is called tapasya. So one can perform all these, can accept bodily penances, give charity, study the Vedas, etc. But unless he is a devotee like Arjuna, it is not possible to see that universal form. Those who are impersonalists are also imagining that they are seeing the universal form of the Lord. But from Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the impersonalists are not devotees. Therefore, they are unable to see the universal form of the Lord.
Okay, so basically all these people, atheistic people, impersonalists also, they visualize some form. But it's very clear, they are not really seeing the real form. They are just imagining something. So next, your next paragraph proper talks about people who say that, you know, create incarnations. So 6th line there, the followers of pseudo incarnation.
The followers of a pseudo incarnation may say that they have also seen the transcendental incarnation of God, the universal form. But that is unacceptable, because it is clearly stated here that unless one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot see the universal form of God. So one, first of all, has to become a pure devotee of Krishna, then he can claim that he can show the universal form of what he has seen. A devotee of Krishna cannot accept false incarnations or followers of false incarnations.
So it's very clear, pure devotees can only see universal form of Krishna. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to say, you know, don't try to see God. You serve God such a way that God likes to, wants to come and see you. Like, you know, even as devotees, we may, after some years of chanting or some lifetimes of chanting, we may feel, oh, I'm still not seeing Krishna. He's not manifesting before me, right? We may feel, you know, I'm not feeling any ecstasy, symptoms are not coming. So, you know, that question, you know, it's answered, you know, you try to serve the Lord, so Lord will want to come and see you, pleased by your devotion. This statement, I think one of the presidents of America also said, ask not what your country has done to you, ask what you have done to your country. Right?
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy. So it's like that. No, ask what you have done to God before asking what God has done to you. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. 49.
माते व्यथा माना च विमूढ़ भावो दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरमित्रिन्न ममेदं व्यपेतभि प्रीतमना पुनस्त्वं तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्या.
You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. He is describing that horrible. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. So Krishna only understands that. Krishna also understands it's actually not so pleasing to see this form. It's very, very ferocious and very scary. So he's telling, you know, now you can see the form you desire. So 6th line, no. Yeah, 6th line. Krishna showed this universal form to Arjuna.
Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna just to show him that these people were already killed for their unlawful action. That scene was shown to Arjuna because devotees are always peaceful and they cannot perform such horrible actions. The purpose of the revelation of the universal form was shown. Now Arjuna wanted to see the four-armed form and Krishna showed him.
Yeah, so basically because Arjuna originally didn't want to fight his great grandfather, Bhishma Deva and his teachers, right? That was the main concern, he didn't want to fight. So by showing universal form, Krishna showed that actually they are killed already because they were silent in, you know, when Draupadi was being insulted. So by that, they deserve to be died. So I already killed them. So don't worry, you proceed with the war. So the purpose of universal form is that actually, you know, for Arjuna. So that is already said. So there is no more need to show all this. So actually universal form is said, like it's named as godless display of opulences. Godless display of opulences. It's, you know, it's so ferocious. It's like very terrific form. So all the opulences are manifested without any mercy. It's like that. Yeah,
A devotee is not much interested in the universal form, for it does not enable one to reciprocate loving feelings. Either a devotee wants to offer him respectful, worshipful feelings, or he wants to see the two-handed Krishna form so that he can reciprocate in loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, so devotees are really not interested in seeing the universal form because you cannot have loving exchanges in, okay, universal form, please eat something. Like you cannot talk like that, right? So devotees like two-handed form where they can reciprocate loving feelings. Yeah. Any questions so far? Any comments or questions?
I failed to understand how come Bhishma Pitama is telling he's a Mahajan and all. When this simple thing, which like if I were there, I would be like really like get frustrated and do something to save Draupadi. Like,
So basically he's a pure devotee. He knew the Lord's will for him especially was that Krishna wanted to prove through him that even like a great person like Bhishma Deva, if he is opposed to the Lord, he is going to be vanquished at the end. Krishna wanted to show the whole world that even a great person like Bhishma Deva, if he is opposite side of Krishna, is going to be, means like, you know, he's going to be killed. So he wanted to set that example through him. And Bhishma Deva internally knows that. So he followed that will of the Lord to show that example. So he's such a pure devotee. Actually, he didn't care about his own fame. His own glory. He knew this is what Krishna wanted to show through me, so I'm going to be his instrument in that way. Many people know, we always want to be good examples. Like nobody wants to be bad examples. Like for example, Indradeva also. Krishna uses Indradeva to show all bad, which we should not do. Things we should not do. Like enviousness and so many things. Like, you know, his lusty, all those things. So we need devotees like that also, right? To show things we should not do. So for that also, Krishna uses his devotees only. His dear devotees. So Indradeva is also very dear to Krishna. So we cannot offend him also. So like that. Another thing I was thinking. Yeah. So another thing which similar line is that when Yudhishthira Maharaj was invited for the gambling match, he went first. Because Kshatriya is dharma that whenever they are challenged for gambling or fight, they should do. They should participate. So then, okay, according to the code of conduct, let's go and let's fight. So first time itself, because of that Shakuni's power and all, they got cheated and they got lost everything, actually. All the kingdom, everything they lost, but somehow they gained everything back and they thought, okay, now it's done, let's go. They are about to walk out. Then, again, Shakuni called, okay, come again for the second match. Then Pandavas, all the other Pandavas, and Yudhishthira Maharaj just was thinking, you know, and then he turned back and started going back. Then all the Pandavas said, no, are you crazy? Just now we experienced the whole thing. We almost lost it and we got everything back. No, what is this? Pandavas are so wonderful. Each person has so different characteristic actually. They're completely, you know, as if the five different directions. But they set an show example how they can work together. So they oppose Yudhishthira Maharaj, but still they cooperate with this desire finally. That's one incident. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that actually, I don't know whether he shared with them, but what he thought in his heart is, there is some inconceivable force which is making me do this. this definitely must be will of the Lord, that we have to go through this and somehow, you know, fight again, go through this gambling match. This is, there is something Lord's will in this to, for that, so we are going through this. So I want to submit to that will. So he went and he did that.
Then Yudhishthira should have been punished more, because he is the one who put Draupadi into this thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but more like, other than Bhishma, Yudhishthira should have been killed, what point I'm missing? Like, when you say will of the Lord versus what you are doing, how do you actually, there's a fine line between it's my will versus it's Lord's
yeah,
will.
But because they are pure, no, we, of course, you know, we can also keep judging all the time, saying, oh, this will of the Lord, he wants me to kill this person, or he wants me to, you know, become angry at this person right now. We can say all this, but right now, safe side for us is to act in a proper Vaishnava behavior. For us, we can say that is the will of the Lord for all of us most of the time. You know, to be humble, to be tolerant and merciful, at least what things which happen to us. For other devotees and for Lord, if somebody does, then we can, if he can speak up, we can speak up, otherwise we can just walk away. So most of the time, will of the Lord is given by our Vaishnava etiquette, which we follow for us. Otherwise, we are just mentally doing something. But he is very pure, right? He knows exactly, you know. There is some inconceivable force which is making me do this, which I am not able to
resist, rather
I am not able to overcome. So, you know, I should just submit to this.
But they also suffered a lot, right? Like 14 years of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. But Krishna, it's all, that's another question people ask. Krishna is there right with them. Why they had to go through so many things? You know, at first time when this happened, like for example, gambling match, when this cheating happened, when Draupadi was insulted, that time itself Krishna could have killed everybody. He has the power, he can, because that's a good enough reason for, right? Anybody to be punished. Why he didn't do that? That's a question, you know, always people ask. I've been asking this question because the similar situations I can correlate them. So then the question is, like, Krishna wanted, there are two reasons. He wanted the war of Kurukshetra, where he can bring all the warriors at once, so he can annihilate them at once. So he wanted that final pivotal moment, and he also wanted to give the credit for Arjuna for the war, his pure devotee. So that's why he wanted all this, he waited. And it's not that through that whole process of waiting so many years, he left Pandavas alone. He was always with them, always helping them. So they were always Krishna conscious and they were always feeling Krishna's presence. So either way, Krishna achieved his purpose also, and at the same time, they were not lost. Even though externally they were going through, but internally they were not experiencing anything. Seemingly they are going through difficulties, all those things. But they were all, because they are always remembering Krishna, it doesn't matter to them. Yeah. And through them, he's also setting an example that, you know, even my devotees have to go through troubles. It doesn't mean, once you become devotee of Krishna, means like, okay, now I have some nice, you know, some, yeah, nice jail or something. And, you know, all the moats are stopped and all the weapons are stopped. You know, now Krishna is going to protect me like this. It's not like that. Maybe it becomes worse actually, you know. We may have to go through more. Whatever Krishna wants, basically Krishna does whatever is needed for us. That's the essence actually, you know. Many times Radhananda Maharaj tells in his classes, whatever is needed, we will get it. If it means sometimes to get a lot of wealth, sometimes it means to take away all the wealth. Whatever is needed. So, yeah. So we should, at that time, we should understand this is the will of the Lord. And submit. Not for our actions. When external situation happens, that time we should submit. Okay, text number 50.
Another one question. If you will submit at that time, it's like a question of fighting back in that situation versus...
What can you fight back with, you know, force of destiny?
Some situation,
like, you know, like manager kind of like, you know, laying you
like
off or things
fighting
like...
fighting with you, someone is directly fighting with you. It's a situation. Either you will surrender or kill me, I'm standing, or you can fight back. I guess...
So main thing is like, you know, you should always check, you know, why am I fighting back? Is it because my ego? Like, you know, is it because I am, then in that case, it's we are doing materially. Then we are just, you know, creating more reactions. But are we fighting back because, you know, for example, somebody insulted the Lord and devotees and, you know, I'm representing them and I want to establish Prabhupada's position clearly. For that reason, I'm fighting back. That's different. That's completely spiritual. If any time you put your ego, then that's all. It's material. And you have to get three actions. That's a calculation we can make. Okay, text number 50. Sanjaya Uvacha. Iti Arjunam Vasudevastatoktva. Shvakam Rupam Darshayam Ashabhuya. Ashvashayam Ashacha Bitam Enam. Bhutva Puna Swamya Vapur Mahatma. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form, and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. So Sanjaya is describing all this to Dhritarashtra Maharaj. So he is telling that Krishna spoke, now displayed his four-armed form, and after some time he showed his two-armed form, because that's more what Krishna, Arjuna deals with. Text number the fourth line, Krishna knew that Arjuna,
similarly Krishna knew that Arjuna was not interested in seeing the four-handed form. But since Arjuna asked to see this four-handed form, Krishna also showed him this form again, then showed him in his two-handed form. The word is
Saumya Vapu
is very significant. Saumya Vapu is a very beautiful form. It is known as the most beautiful form. When he was present, everyone was attracted simply by Krishna's form. And because Krishna is the director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again his beautiful form of Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Virochanena. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna.
Mm. So his form is, his 200 form is described as Saumya Vapu, you know, very beautiful form, very beautiful, that very beautiful form, you know, that's what again he showed, and that also we need pure devotion to see that form. And it banished the fear of Arjuna, and everybody was very attracted by that form. The moment you see that form, you feel very, attracted. Yeah. So there's even like, you know, that same form you can see in the deity form also. You know, many of us, after some time, you know, you get attracted to a specific form of the deity, like, you know, Radha Shyam Sundar, or somehow you get attached to a particular deity, Radha Madhava, like that. Then when you see that form, you feel so enlivened and so attracted, like that, you know. So we can also experience a little bit like that. And specifically, if you see the Lord's eyebrows, it is said that all your lusty desires will vanquish. Like if anybody has lusty desires, and if you see the deity form of the Lord, and from the, of course, we take darshan from the feet, and then gradually come to this lotus face, and if we see the eyebrows, then if at all we have any lusty desires, then that will go away. Text number 51. Arjuna Vacha Drishtvedam Manusham Rupam Tava Saumyam Janardana Idani Mashmi Samprita Sacheta Prakritim Gata. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing his human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. So the point here is, original form, but he's also Manishyam Rupam. Means it's in human-like form, not human form, human-like form. So, you know, people again, you know, they make it up and say, you know, actually. So we'll see what Prabhupada is. Third, fourth line. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being.
If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form, again to show the four-handed Narayana form? So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries on Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. the original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as sun. They do not require lamplight for foolish commentator.
So people, Krishna is so clear, right? 200 form of Krishna is original form. He manifested 400 after the manifested universal form. After the 400 form, again he manifested his 200 form. It's very clear. But you know, commentators interpret that, you know, it's not real. Krishna is a supreme impersonal, unborn within him is the supreme. But he is taking this form under the influence of material nature. But once he is uncovered by material nature, then again he will realize that we all realize that actually we are all one impersonal Brahman, that is supreme. So that makes it so complicated actually. Even to explain that it's complicated, we can understand that, you know, it's not so true. If it may, something gets complicated, means you can understand, you know, it's not true. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. So even like, how can we accept Krishna as an ordinary human being? Because he did so many wonderful activities, which like lifting Govardhan hill, killing the demons when he's so small, and showing the universal form, so many things which nobody can imitate, and marrying 16,108 queens. In one lecture, Prabhupada is saying, nowadays, you know, maintaining one wife is so tough actually. You know, how can we imagine we are God and think we can maintain so many wives? So, last phrase, you know, very nice. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. So, they try to put lamplight and they cover the color. You know, they change the color. So, it's like that. So, Prabhupada also, you know, once became very angry, and people are changing Bhagavad Gita, right? Concocting, changing and everything. Then, he started chastising them and saying, you know, if you want to write something, you know, you want to write something, write your own book. Why you take Krishna's book and interpret his words? You know, he wants to convey some meaning, let it be like that. Why you take his verses and change something? Because Gita is popular, people make different versions of Gita, right? So it becomes easy, dovetail with Krishna's popularity. So that's what you see. Text number 52. Sri Bhagavan Vacha सुदुर्दशम इदं रूपं दृष्टवान् असि नयन् मम देव अपि अस्य रूपस्य नित्यं दर्शनकांक्षिना. The supreme personality of God, it said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. Okay. So Krishna is saying, this form which you are seeing is very difficult to behold. That means it's very rare to see Krishna's 200 form. Not everybody has that fortune to see directly Krishna's 200 form. It's very difficult to behold means it's not difficult in the sense of, you know, it's too much glaring effulgence or not like that. Means it's very rare. One has to be very pure devotee, then only you can see Krishna 200 form. But Duryodhana, everybody they saw.
Yeah.
But they didn't see it in the real, they didn't see him as real, as Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is. They saw him as an ordinary person.
Even Pandava?
No, Pandava saw him.
All the time or just?
Oh, they are covered by Yoga Maya. They know him as Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are covered by Yoga Maya. They see him as friend, cousin, like that. Actually, yeah, Yadavas also. Yeah, we were reading for our Bhakti Vaibhav exam. So Yadavas means people in Yadu dynasty, Krishna's, you know, children and grandchildren and all these Uddhava and all these people. They see Krishna as a super soul, but they don't see him as a supreme personality of Godhead, source of the super soul. They see him as a super soul incarnated in this family. That's the knowledge they have, actually. Even Yadavas like that. Only Uddhava knows, actually. Uddhava only knows Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, like that. No, so there are different revelations Krishna gives based on how we approach him and devotion, how we are disposed towards him. Even like, you know, for example, practical thing, right? Deity form of Krishna is there. Prabhupada says in lectures, everything is non-different from original Krishna personality. So he's there, he's ready to receive offerings, receive our prayers, you know, dress so that we can engage our senses in serving him. You know, different pujaris come, or even us, we come and take darshan. You know, what is the mood with which we approach him? We think, oh, he's made of some stone, it's like that, and they're just decorating some dress on this. If we do like that, he will appear to us like stone. But if we see him as, okay, Supreme Personality, he came, he's manifesting his form, okay, and you know, this is a way we can reciprocate his feelings and we offer prayers. Do like this, you see, it's is reciprocal. You see him differently, actually. I don't know whether you have seen any difference in your. We can share maybe, you know, from your, for some number of years taking darshan of the Lord. Do you see any difference in the way you, the reciprocation of the Lord, based on your attitude change being changed? Do you see any difference? You feel now more personal connected, or for example, any new temple you enter, sometimes you visit many temples, right? You feel like you don't have connection, right? But after some number of years of serving the Lord, right, like different services, like maybe prasadam, whatever, DT or whatever, there is some connection, with personal connection, right? That form of the Lord, you feel long. When you go to India also, you feel, come back, you want to see Radha Neelamadhava again. It's like that, you know, it's a very personal connection. Because it's a person, there is a relationship. Okay, nobody shared. Okay. You're not introspecting. No. Okay, so let's read some section purport. One may be able to see the universal fourth line.
One may be able to see the universal form of Krishna by adding a little tinge of devotional service to various activities like penances, Vedic study and philosophical speculation. It may be possible, but without a tinge of bhakti, one cannot see. That has already been explained. Still beyond that universal form, the form of Krishna with two hands is still more difficult to see. Even for demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva, they desire to see him, and we have evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when he was supposed to be in the womb of his mother, Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna, and they offered nice prayers to the Lord, although he was not at the time visible to them. They wanted to see him.
They waited
to see him. A foolish person may deride him, thinking him an ordinary person, and may offer respect not to him, but to the impersonal something within him. But these are all nonsensical postures. Krishna, in his two-armed form, is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva.
Yeah. Basically, he's saying, you know, we may think impersonal form is superior and deride the two-handed form, thinking, but you know, this verse is establishing, even the two-handed form, actually the original form, is so much hankered by the demigods also to see. That established that incident where before Krishna is born, all the demigods are praying, you know, oh Lord, when will you appear, when we can have your darshan. Because Lord is personally coming to give his darshan so easily now, because he's coming to the material world, you know, to. So that's why demigods are waiting, easily seeing. Last 15 lines, Krishna is covered by, next paragraph, is covered by his yogamaya potency.
As we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by his yoga maya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Mm. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for the demigods. Therefore, it's difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna. And the advanced demigods are always in hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, it is all the more difficult to understand his personal form as Shyamashundara.
So the problem is about understanding, not about seeing. We may appear, like for example, Duryodhana, everybody, they see. So what Prabhupada is clarifying is, universal form is very, very difficult to see. But too difficult to understand is a 200 form. So even though you may see, you may not be able to understand. How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How, for example, Brahma got bewildered, right? When he saw Krishna, you know, he's eating the food with other cowherd boys. He thought, how can he be God? So that's how they get bewildered. They cannot accept Krishna as he is in his 200 form. So that's the point they are talking about. So text number 53. Naham vedena tapasa nadane na chajeya चक्य एवं विदो द्रष्टुं दृष्ट्वा वान असि मायत्वां यता. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing severe penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. The same point. So even for universal form, he said all this, right? So same thing is saying, even to see my 200 form, all these things are not really the criteria. Okay, I've read so many things. Okay, now I'm qualified to see the Lord form. That's not the qualification. So last two lines in the purport, Krishna can be understood only through the...
Krishna can be understood only through the path of devotional service, as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse.
So how can we understand Krishna? He's explained in the next verse. It's a very, very important verse. This, the first two lines of the next verse is repeated again in like later chapters also. No, not this one. Bhaktya Mam Abhijan, that's a different one, sorry. Yeah. Bhaktyatva ananya shakya aham evam vidorshuna jnatyum tachyumta sattvena praveshtam chatavarantapam. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Okay, so now the qualification is given directly by Krishna. Only by undivided devotional service, Krishna can be understood as he is, as a 200 Krishna, as he is standing before him. And then we can enter into the mysteries of his understanding, like how he is born, what are his activities. So mysterious, nobody can understand. So only when we develop that devotional service, we can understand them. So if we feel like, for example, after some Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, initially, like, you know, some concept we cannot understand, it feels like a blocker, you know, unless I understand this, I cannot proceed further. But generally, devotees, what they recommend is, it's okay, whatever understand, just follow the process. Start chanting. If you have little faith, start the process. Start chanting, doing some service. Gradually, you will see that you will, the knowledge will be revealed to you. Then after some time, you feel that blockers have gone. You have the understanding of that. No, that's what. Because pleased by the devotion, Krishna gives the understanding. About, you know, what he is, what is his service, what are the devotees, everything. Krishna means, not just Krishna, like, you know, Krishna means Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's devotional service. So everything about his holy name and everything, everything he will reveal according to our devotion. It's similar to that Yayatamam Prapadyante verse, right? As we approach Krishna, Krishna rewards accordingly. A 4. Something. You can check up. Ayatama. You can look for Ayatama. 4.19 or maybe something. You can check. Okay. After that word. Okay, this verse actually. This is a very nice insight Srila Prabhupada is giving then. More than about devotional service to Krishna, we need to also develop devotional service to Guru, spiritual master. So we'll read this. Like a paragraph after the Sanskrit verse, yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tatha gurau tasya ite katita hi artha prakashante mahatmana. Can we read the English?
One who has unflinching devotion for the Supreme Lord and is directed by the spiritual master in whom he has similar unflinching faith can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revelation. One cannot understand Krishna by mental speculation, for one who does not take personal training under the guidance of bona fide spiritual master, it is impossible to even to begin to understand Krishna. The word tu is famous, is specifically used here to indicate that no other process can be used, can be recommended or can be successful in understanding Krishna.
So our devotion is to be guided by a spiritual master. Then it's, you know, really proper. Then we are in a proper way. Then it's qualified. Then we become more qualified to understand Krishna. No, so for us, you know, we all have Siksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada in general. But otherwise, if you have aspiring or something, we have our own Siksha Gurus. So by submitting to them, by then, when we have the, they say, you know, when we have same amount of faith as Krishna, as in Guru, no, that's when all the secrets of the scriptures are revealed to us. For a devotee, a disciple, who has unflinching faith in the spiritual master as much as in Krishna, then all the purports of Vedic literature are revealed to him. So this is a secret actually he's telling. not just developing undivided devotion to Krishna, we have to develop undivided devotion to spiritual master, who is representative of Krishna. So this is very important, you know, initiation and spiritual master. Okay, further down, actually, I'll just summarize. So Krishna, Prabhupada is talking in the purport about how even Krishna is the origin of the Vishnu form. So he talks about the three Vishnus for creation, right? Mahavishnu and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Kshirodaksha Vishnu. But all the Vishnus actually originate from the 200 Krishna form. That verse in Brahma Samhita proves that. Yasaika Nishvashiti Kalam Athavalambya. You know, the plenary portion of Krishna is the Mahavishnu who is lying down. From his exhaling and inhaling, all the universes emanate. So this shows that the 200 form of Krishna is the original form. All other forms are expanding from him. So that point we discussed earlier. So, okay, let's read last two paragraphs. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says,
there is nothing superior to my form as the personality of Godhead Krishna. He also says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adir Ki Devana, I am the original of all the demigods. And after understanding the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Arjuna also confirms this in the following words, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. I now fully understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, and that you are the refuge of everything. Therefore, the universal form which Krishna showed to Arjuna is not the original form of God. The original is the Krishna form. The universal form with its thousands and thousands of heads and hands is manifest just to draw the attention of those who have no love for God. It is not God's original form.
Okay, so in this paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is establishing Krishna's original form is the 200 form, and universal form is his subsequent form. It's not his original form. Yeah. So then, we'll read next paragraph also. The universal form is not attractive.
For pure devotees who are in love with the Lord in different transcendental relationships, the Supreme Godhead exchanges transcendental love in his original form of Krishna. Therefore, to Arjuna, was so intimately related with Krishna in friendship, this form of universal manifestation was not pleasing. Rather, it was fearful. Arjuna, who was a constant companion of Krishna's, must have had transcendental eyes. He was not an ordinary man. Therefore, he was not captivated by the universal form. This form may seem wonderful to persons who are involved in elevating themselves by fruitive activities, but to persons who are engaged in devotional service, the 200 form of Krishna is the most dear.
So Arjuna, being pure devotee, he was not attracted to the... He was not saying, okay, oh, this is wonderful, let me see this forever, the universal form. He said, oh, no, please, okay, come back to your 200 form because I can have loving relationship with you. So that's the point Prabhupada is establishing. So this final verse is very, very important, very nice. Srila Prabhupada also gives very beautiful purport. So I was wanting to read almost all the purport. Let's see. Last verse. So Krishna is declaring now. So what we need to do in order to understand him? Or how do we come to him? Mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varchita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasa mam eti pandava. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So he's establishing criteria, actually, you know, how we can go back to Krishna. So he has to engage in pure devotional service without any mixture with karma and jnana. So this is a verse, definition of pure devotional service. Who knows the definition of pure devotional service? Anyabhilashita shunyam, nectar of devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anikulyena krishnanu, shilanam bhakti ruttamu. Jnana karmadi anavritam, so uncovered by jnana and karma. So devotion to Krishna should not be mixed with fruitive mentality. Means, I do this, Krishna can leave me something. You know, I put one penny, he will give me $100. Fruitive mentality, that comes in different ways. Actually, if you introspect, you see, our devotion is so much mixed with fruity mentality. So, pure devotional service should not have any tinge with fruit. Just doing only to please the Lord. That's the only thing we are desiring. Okay? So, without fruity mentality, mental speculation means about speculating about, oh, he is God, or all the forms about Lord and all this thing. I don't know how much, mostly we are liable to the first mistake, you know, fruity mentality. Mental speculation, not so much we do. I don't know, maybe, you know, subtly, I don't know, maybe, I am yet to understand.
It's pure unalloyed material devotion. Pure unalloyed.
Pure unalloyed material devotion.
So,
nectar of
instruction, which one,
Mr. Nectar of devotion, Anya Shunya.
Is there any verse number or something?
You can look it up. I don't know, probably. Bhakti Rasamrita. Just search for Anya, Google Anya Bilashita Shunyam, or definition for pure devotion service, you'll get it.
From what point you start cross referencing?
Mataji, it's here in page number 506.
Huh?
Next page.
Next page, the sloka is given?
Yeah,
1.1.11. Yeah, that's a good way to remember. It's all one section. 1.1.11, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has this. Now, if you hear lectures often, Srila Prabhupada, you know exactly in what context he quotes which verse. So, when you speak about it, you will get the same. You know, in this context, he quotes this verse. So, you also get it. Any lecture, if you hear nicely, attentively, often, then you will get it. Okay, so this and then he says, Krishna who works for me, works for Krishna. So we'll understand from Prabhupada's purport, what does it mean to work for Krishna? Krishna karma, he's saying. And then who makes me the supreme goal of life, what does it mean? And who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So Srila Prabhupada devotes his purport to elaborate on each of these points. So we'll also read and try to, you know, understand. So first paragraph,
anyone who wants to approach the Supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the Supreme Himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
So this is very key actually. One time Harivilas Prabhu gave a lecture on this verse. And before that, he started telling, okay, today we are going to discuss the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Because he read it so intensely, books, he know exactly which purport, which line comes. So when he started reverse like that, I was like, oh, I read Bhagavad Gita at least once. You know, I don't even know which verse is, you know, is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Then he started reading the purport and he said, this verse is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. See, it's, now when you hear like that, it strikes you so much. Right? So this verse is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is a verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service.
Okay, so this rest of the purport Prabhupada is going to talk about, or the points Krishna is saying is the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. So that's why it's called essence. So what is the devotional process by which one can attain spiritual life? That's what Krishna has given. So, the different points Srila Prabhupada is going to discuss further. As far as work is concerned, yeah, continue.
As far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities. As stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu,
no work should be done.
Yeah, no work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna Karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for him. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is a proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profits of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna.
Okay, we can pause there. Then Prabhupada gives another example also. like constructing a big building we can construct, but you can also build a temple for Krishna. Then the whole work is Krishna karma actually. And so basically what is Krishna karma is, or rather work for Krishna is, activities should be connected to Krishna. Activity should be done in relationship with Krishna. For example, I'm going to work because, you know, it gives me sustenance, so I can practice my Krishna consciousness. So that's how you connect it. So then it becomes Krishna conscious activity, or working for Krishna. Or, you know, family I'm taking care, so I can raise them in Krishna's, as Krishna conscious devotees. Like that. So first is, you can write down these points if you want. First, we need to see how the work is in relation to Krishna. Right? How is the work related to Krishna? That's first point. Next point is, once you see that, you should also offer the results to Krishna. It's not just, everybody's writing. Okay, so we also have to offer the results. It's not just namesake doing this work for Krishna, but the results we get and we enjoy. Right? So results also are for Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, of course, you know, you can build a big temple for Krishna. So Krishna is a proprietor. But as a servant, you can also get one room and stay there. There's no problem. So you can enjoy the prasadam. Like that. But he is a proprietor. So like for example, you know, practically how devotees have done it is, during Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur time, his disciples, some of them are grihastha, some of them, most of them sannyasis. So grihasthas, they used to earn and they used to get the paycheck and they completely submit to the guru. So guru takes whatever, fully, whatever he wants, and what is based on the necessity of the disciple, he gives this much. Take. So that is actually, you know, very, very, very high. Nowadays it's very impossible to do. And at least, you know, what we have been given is Rupa Goswami's example. They divide everything 50, 25, 25. 50% you give it to Krishna and 25% used for future. And 25% for your family and relatives. That's also very high bar now, because so much goes in taxes. What we get, you know, that we can think, you know, taxes Krishna is taking 33% taxes to Krishna. Yeah. So this, you know, but
Because people are not giving, he's just taking.
Yeah, he's taking form of government. So. Yeah, so that's it. Results also have to go to Krishna. So that's one thing. And then we have to accept, then what do we get? You know, we just do everything and give everything, so we are just, you know, done. Krishna gives us back the prasadam. So we take the prasadam. Or, you know, literally if you want to do, you get your paycheck, offer in front of your deity and say, this is, you know, this I want to use it in your service. Like, you know, literally or mentally, today I got my paycheck. No, I put in front of the Lord and say, this, I want to wish to use this in your service. In your service means, okay, taking care of children is also a service, right? Taking care of grocery, everything also is service. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, we stop eating and, of course, you know, cooking for him only, right? Anyway, so, like that, right? So, if you see, tangibly, we are doing it actually. But the whole thing, you know, that consciousness can be decoded.
Stay with minimally, whatever is required, you spend that much.
Yes. That's a different principle. Simple living, high thinking. That also the one another thing which we need to progress, how to reduce our necessities. But even within that, we need to connect it to Krishna. Mm-hmm. It cannot be separate from Krishna. That's what the point actually. Even that, like whatever I'm eating prasadam only. Krishna is eating. Then after that, I'm eating. That's connected. Clothes I need to buy, you know, for if I go to office or something, I need some clothes, decent clothes. If I'm preaching, I need some decent clothes. So it's all connected to Krishna service. It's not independent. Okay, now I got some money. Okay, it's my time. Now I go buy something which I can enjoy on my own. Then it's not connected to Krishna. Like that. So everything should be connected to Krishna. Okay? That's Krishna karma. So next, you can, I would recommend all of you to read this purport and, you know, of course, all the purports, specifically this purport fully. The next paragraph, we'll see Krishna. Now Prabhupada is talking about the next phrase, Mat Parama.
The word Mat Parama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Such a person does not wish to be elevated to the higher...
Okay, I can paraphrase this because we are running out of time. So basically, this devotee who understands that Krishna is the supreme goal of life is not attracted to any other destinations. He is not attracted to going to heavenly planets or some position within this world, I want to be president, I want to do all this. So you understand, this is my goal, and all his efforts, energy, time, everything is spent towards that goal, right? Supreme goal of life. That's the point, Mat Parama. And next phrase, Prabhupada says, as indicated by the word Mat Bhakta, means he fully engages in devotional service, or 9 process of devotional service, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaram, everything. So that's how he becomes his devotee. And the next phrase, Sangha Varjita, is very significant. That means he is disassociating himself with persons who are against Krishna. This is also a huge topic to discuss. That means he doesn't associate with non-devotees. Okay, then how do we practically do? We go shopping, we go to work. There are non-devotees, what does that mean? We are associating with them. Are we violating this principle? So the practical thing for us is we give association, but we don't take their association. We don't intimately hear their conquests of material energy. Today I watch this movie, so we go and open our heart and hear, what all things they relished. Then, we get infected. We are taking their association. If they have some problem, if they reveal their mind, we can help them. There, we are giving our association. From my knowledge, from my reading Bhagavad Gita, I feel this useful. Like, we share like that. That's okay. So we always are giving our association, then we are not affected. We are not taking their association. That's how we should deal practically in the outside world. Then we are still following this principle. Next paragraph, Prabhupada talks about friendly to everyone. The devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone because he is always thinking about elevating them in Krishna consciousness. He is never not thinking, this is my friend or enemy. He is always thinking, how I can bring this person closer to Krishna. If you are always thinking like that, then we are actually becoming well-wisher of everyone. Or we are becoming friendly to everyone. So we don't see them as friend, but of course people who are envious, people may see as enemy. Like even devotees, there are people who pull, like for example non-devotees, right? They if you see some websites, if you search Adhanath Maharaj, you will see so many bogus websites also where there is so much blasphemy going on. So there are people who consider us as enemies, but this person will not consider anybody as an enemy. You see the point, right? Even Adhishri Maharaj is glorified like that. He is Ajata Shatru, his enemy is not born. That means he doesn't consider enemy as enemy actually. But many people are his enemies. Duryodhana thinks Yudhishthira Maharaj is his enemy. Like that. So this is the principle. If you always think about elevating everybody in Krishna consciousness, we are their well-wishers. We are friendly to everyone. So if we somehow practice all these points as Prabhupada is elaborating, then we can go back to Krishna as Krishna is promising. So let's read last paragraph. In summary, the universal form of Krishna.
In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything, and even the form of Vishnu, four-handed, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishwarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important than the original form, two-handed Shyam Sundara. In Brahma Samhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the Shyam Sundara form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Thus and the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the
universal form. Yeah, so basically, Prabhupada is concluding that the 200 form of Krishna is the essential form and the supreme form. All others are his expansions, and devotees are not so much attracted by such forms, but they are attracted to the 200 Shyamasundara form. So it is said that, for example, we are aspiring for Bhagavan, right? There are 3 phases, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So we are directly serving the Bhagavan. But because we are directly and when somebody who realizes Bhagavan already realizes Brahman and Paramatma. So we see everything as energy of Krishna, that's Brahman conception. And Paramatma. So Paramatma, the description is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like four-handed Vishnu form. He's standing in the lotus. Like in our heart, he's like that. Yellow dress always, and earrings, and Kaustubha Muni, money. The description is given, how he appears. But for devotees who are already serving the Bhagavan, the Lord appears as, our Ishtadeva appears, the form of Ishtadeva appears in our heart. That means that she has 200 charms in their form. Like that. Now see, in any form, we see only that form. Specific form.
Like the pure devotee doesn't even desire to go to Brahmaloka or any other planets. He just wants to serve wherever he is. But then like point, so Brahma, out of Krishna's desire, he had to create this world, or he wanted to be Brahma?
There are two. Actually, Brahma can be pure devotee. There are pure devotee Brahma. Brahma is a post. So some Brahmas are pure devotee Brahmas, where after their service of this 100 years, they live, right? After their 100 years, they directly go back to Krishna. They are pure devotee Brahmas. For example, our Brahma right now is a pure devotee Brahma. But we are also have been Brahma at one point. But we were not pure devotee Brahma. So that's why we wanted to enjoy more and we came again. Fell down. So there are different, this different.
So when somebody is falls from the spiritual sky, it's a like gradual fall to like wherever we are, rather than from here we are going.
Yes, up. Usually it's said that first we become Brahma, after that we fall down, like, you know, gradually. Different based on what we do.
So Brahma can also fall down?
Yeah, Brahma is a material, anyway, Jiva only, right? It's a post, like a temple president. Temple president can also fall down, right?
But Brahma is like the topest post, yes, of the material.
Yes.
Form, and
yes,
he can also.
Yeah.
He does fall down, right? That's how he gets baffled by Krishna's form.
Yeah, he gets bewildered, right?
So basically, all are Jivatma, and one is like super soul, and other are soul.
One is super soul means?
Like Krishna, and
yes,
then the rest of us, rest
everybody, yes,
everybody
is Jivatma. Jiva, yes. There is another tattva also, Shiva tattva, that's different. There are three primary tattvas, like Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Shiva Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means all Vishnu and Vishnu's expansions. Like Krishna and Krishna's expansion. Like Krishna, Narayana, Rama, Narsimha. These are all Vishnu Tattva. Like, you know, personality of Godheads. Jiva Tattva means all of us, part and parcel, small, tiny entities. And in the middle, there is Shiva Tattva. So living entities will have a tendency to fall down either way. Shiva Tattva is in the middle, where it's not Vishnu Tattva, it's not Jiva Tattva. That's a different complicated subject. It's some other time we can discuss. Everybody is sleepy already.
I heard that Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur is the
Brahma.
Brahma Singer. Why did he took birth as a human? When he is a good devotee, he should go back to Goloka.
That's, I don't know, maybe I'm not be able to answer exactly what you're asking, but some details I know about this is that Brahma, when this Vimohana Leela happens, right, where he forgets that he is Krishna, and then he begs forgiveness, then he says, next life let me be as humble devotee in such a way that I never forget my position, I always remain your servant. So that's how he becomes born in the Muslim family. What happened?
Spider.
Okay. So that's how he becomes born in a Muslim family, Mohammedan family. So it's a humble birth. It's okay, you can focus. So it's a humble birth so that he will never forget Krishna. And in that, also Mahaprabhu is trying to glorify that, you know, for a person to be, he appointed him as Namacharya, right? So he doesn't need a particular birth in order to become a Namacharya for the holy names. So that's also Krishna wanted to establish. So that's why he becomes, takes birth in the Mohammedan family. Specifically so he can remain humble and not be contaminated like last time. Can end here? Jai, all glory Shri Prabhupada.